Just to clarify Cynthia's prayer earlier, I will be sharing a teaching this morning, but it will be not just for adults. It will include young adults, like myself, and even younger adults, who we call teenagers, because for now, and I'll talk about this shortly, we'll have our youth with us on Sunday mornings for worship and teaching. You know, as Taylor was praying and as I was singing that song, and as right as Taylor is to say what he did, because we feel a certain way, it doesn't change God, I imagine there's also been times where we've felt like God has not answered. And I think we can shame ourselves into thinking, well, that's because we're not paying attention. But I did wonder that maybe sometimes, it's like this, I think. If I'm watching TV and Jackie's trying to get my attention, how successful do you think that is? Really unsuccessful to answer that rhetorical question. I think that's what it is for us too sometimes. We get distracted by, even when we have had God give us this season where it's like, hi, just trying to get your attention here, But we can tend towards fear and anxiety and sadness and longing, and that becomes our focus instead of actually turning to Him, quieting our hearts, listening, trusting, remembering His long track record in our lives of faithfulness. Because that won't change. God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Is He not? I'm sorry, is He not? All right, I am at crossroads. It's good. There's a couple people that I would like us just to pray with as a church family for them, and I'll outline in brief who they are as they've come up to your attention via email or other social media pieces. And since I've been away, I haven't been able to pray with you. So they are as follows. Lori Fowler lost her husband, Neil, not so long ago. I know we've been praying for her, but let's keep her in our minds as well this morning. And as you may know, given, again, the email that I sent out or the social media pieces otherwise, Jim New passed away this week, so this is Kim's husband. And they are heading out to Alberta to be with her mom on Tuesday for 2 weeks or so. When I say they, I mean Kim, including Hannah and Devin, their two teenage children. So if you could pray for them. That was a long road for them as a family. It's 2 years of working through cancer for Jim. And if I know Kim, she'll probably feel some guilt about the relief that it's brought that Jim has gone heavenward. And we can be assured of that. He is there. He had a growing relationship with Jesus, but it really gained some momentum in this season where he was turning to the only place he could in the end. But also, Luke, let's keep Luke in mind. Good to see you again. As I say that, I'm looking for you. So good looking. Okay. I love the tattoos. Every time I'm looking for good looking in tattoos, and then I find you usually. It's fantastic. How are you feeling? Can I ask that just really quickly? And okay.
They found a hole in my heart, so I have to get surgery on that. I'm just waiting date for that.
Have a stroke. So, yeah, that's so incongruous to me that you had a stroke.
Yeah.
I mean, look at you. Me, yes, I could see that. But you. So what's been discovered is Luke has a small hole in his heart. So he had a stroke, and I give full credit to Stacy as it was happening. She was diagnosing on the go and making the calls. And, you know, you sit down, mister, and off you went. And so we're glad you're with us still. And we are going to pray for you, with you, that that gets solved. I said to Stacy actually that morning when we called, or when I talked to her, that maybe this alert at this point is what keeps you from leaving us 20 years down the road. And it gives you maybe 40 or 50 or 60. Yeah, good for you. Right attitude, I think. So that's Luke, and then Terry Delville. I don't see Diane here. Is Diane here? No. Okay, so he's had some liver issues. I've made you aware of that, too, just through our email. By the way, that's a good place to say, if you aren't receiving our church email and you'd like to, just contact me. My information to be contacted via email is in our bulletin on the front page, as is Shirley's, either one of us, and we'll include you as soon as we receive that if you aren't involved in that yet. Okay, so let's follow the bouncing ball. Jocelyn's friend Alana, Alana's dad has been in the hospital since February with multiple issues, mostly around his kidney. They drained several liters of infectious stuff from his kidney and removed it recently. It does not look great for him who is Wayne, but you know, as we've prayed about before, as we've talked about before, we pray the prayer that we would pray until it's spent, until it cannot be answered any longer, at least not this side of heaven, right? So we're going to pray for a miracle for Wayne, because I think that's possible. And then, of course, Ryan ends his dad. So Bill Enns has been diagnosed with cancer himself, and the prognosis is really not good. So Bill knows Jesus, and that's the good news. So in all, many of these stories... In all of these stories, these folks know Jesus, and that is our assurance for them and our comfort if and when they should leave before we do. Would you join me in praying for them? And you can pray on your own where you are. I'll just be doing something on the mic here. Let's pray. Father, it's with this posture, as we came out of singing songs, truths about you and our relationship with you, where we're at in our relationship with you and where we want to be in our relationship with you, we are reminded, even in this moment, just talking to you, I'm reminded that everything I do and think and say and feel depends on you. I live and move and have my being in you, so said Paul, quoting that famous Greek philosopher. But it is true, all of it. And we think of our friends, we've named them just now. We don't need to tell you what's going on in their lives. We just trust you with them by name. We do pray for Lori that you would continue to heal her heart over the loss of her best friend and partner and husband, Neil. The same for Kim. And whereas Lori has grown up and moved out children, Kim is still raising her teenagers and in home with her. As they make their way to Alberta and back to visit with mom, may you get them there and back safely. May you restore is not the right word, Father. I think I want to say, may you fill them with hope and strength for these days ahead without a husband, without a dad. Thank you for the transformations in Neil's life and Jim's life as they approach the finish line of this life and turn their eyes and affection and heart and mind towards you. How they became more gracious and gentle, and how in the end they both were men, in spite of their illness, chose life and inspired us in watching them pass away. Father, we choose also to trust you with Luke and Terry and Wayne, and in particular, Bill, where the diagnosis is particularly brutal, as it is for Wayne. And so we will, as we think about these things, we'll search our hearts to wonder if you're asking us to pray that you would heal. We know that you can, but it may not be your will at this point, and that sounds like a cop-out, but we just want to be praying those things that are in your heart to do, because we know in your heart to do it would be the best of all. Thank you that you are always our hope. Thank you that contrast is the great clarifier. That when we do something outside of your best desire for us, which is also then the best for us, if we're paying attention to our heart, your spirit within us, we know that's not better. Even if it's just for a moment, like feels like better, we know it's not. Thank you that you continue to call us to life. Thank you that you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you kicked butt over death, that enemy of life. You did arrest it. You did throw it into jail. We are grateful. That is not something we have to accomplish, just something we get to choose to believe. That is done. That is to our benefit. That is what makes us new. We praise you for it. And in Jesus' powerful and precious name, we all said, and loudly, because we mean it, Amen. Hi, I'm Rob. I'm a pastor here. I feel like I need to say that, having been away for a smidge of time. I hope you had a great summer. I had a fantastic summer. Let me regale you with a couple stories. It began with a fantastic trip to Mexico with a team of 17 of us from Crossroads. We built a house for and with a great family in San Quintín. We painted a school classroom in a local school where One Life, One Chance had some partnership with, and that was kind of cool. We handed out food and prayed with people who lived at the dump. We fed, we taught, we played with children who live in the cuarterías, which are a complex of row houses basically for migrant field workers and their families. We worked with Heather from One Life, One Chance to play with some kids in the specific neighborhood in San Quintín that we build and have had continuing and ongoing presence is called Nuevo Mundo. And we fed folks there and led a vacation Bible school there at Pastor Rosa's house, which is also curiously her church. So it's kind of cool that way. It's a nice commute for your work life. I'm going to go to work now, and oh, there it is. Perfect. We had a week-ending party at base camp, Los Olivos, where we were able to actually connect with a number of our previous family house builds. It's kind of cool. More on all of that, though, on Sunday, September 23rd, when the team will be sharing its team video and reporting all together about that trip. Before moving on from that, though, and there were previous to service slides about this, I want to mention as a highlight of that missions trip, and I think I talked about it even in July, that we had the privilege of baptizing two of our youth on that team in the ocean. Fantastic experience. And those two would be Jocelyn Ronborn and Sophie Clausen. Right? Pretty sweet. Did I tell you what happened? Okay, really, really shortly. Okay, so we're in the ocean. We've prayed. We've shared stories. We've laid hands. It's been fantastic. And then, like, all the sun is setting. It's all like, oh my goodness, you could not paint this picture better. But Jesus did. So, like, as this picture is happening, as this scene is erupting, these dolphins just sort of like in the horizon, and they're like, okay, as if they're saying, hey, we like baptisms too, let's join the crowd. It's fantastic. Shortly after our missions trip, I had the privilege of speaking at Camp Squia as the family camp pastor. I spoke 8 times over the course of 4 days, once in the morning to parents, and then at night with parents and children. I was able to stay with the Larson family, actually, in their home, and that was really cool. And I was secretly and steadily supplied with Diet Pepsi. Thank you. Throughout the week by our friend Corey Bittner, so that was pretty cool, actually, even though he got that totally wrong. I had a wonderful time of meeting up with believers and non-believers, or people who aren't yet believers, perhaps, we can put it that way, and sharing meals with them around tables at camp. There's nothing like camp life, actually. I met a mom there who was there on her own with 4 children. I sat down with her and her children on day 2 because I thought, if there is someone in this mix that might need a little extra help, it might be her. She had her first child when she was 14 years old. She told me her story. Then her second when she was 16 years old. She left that abusive marriage and moved to Canada, where she met her second husband. And, well, 4 kids later, they are a family of 8, though the eldest 2 daughters have moved back to points of origin to be with their father. Her husband works 2 jobs in Vancouver, and she works when she can pay so that she can pay the bills so that they can stay afloat. Noticing this, not me, but someone else, one of her neighbors, a Christian woman, paid for and sent her and her youngest 4 to Camp Squia for the week of family camp. That mom was a marvel to me. 4 children, like a baby to a 10-year-old daughter, was that span. She handled all of it with a sort of, in my mind, surreal calm. Her children darting in and out of the scene, going outside, coming back in for lunch, maybe eating, maybe not eating, some of them at the table, some of them under the table. All of them spoke English and Spanish and mostly Spanglish at different times. And a baby who, like, screamed every time she walked away from the table. So I'm like, please don't go, please don't go, please don't go. I'll get you whatever you need, actually. Just don't go. Right? I was really grateful to have met her. She was at every session when I spoke to the adults. I hope and I pray that we, me and the camp staff at Squia, were able to encourage her, to give her some time of rest. I think that at least happened for her. I was also grateful that that woman, whoever she was, is led by Jesus to give as she did, gave as she did, invested into that mom, invested into the kingdom of God, such as it was for that week for her. I finished out the month of July with a work week, which included some prep for a wedding I officiated, the wedding of my literal next-door neighbors in unit number 8. Fantastic day. I was able to see my sister and her family and our boy Joshua during the first 2 weeks of August, along with a stopover for a few days in Calgary to see some old friends from our days of ministry life in Ontario. That was pretty cool. But that trip did not start so well out into Edmonton. Me, Jackie, and Kaylee were smoothly and happily making our way out of BC to Alberta when we stopped in Jasper for a potty break to stretch our legs and to gas up the car. I was wearing a pair of pocketless shorts at the time. This will eventually be my undoing. We pulled up to the gas tank. I grabbed my wallet, pulled out my credit card, processed the transaction, and then placed my credit card back in my wallet. I debated whether or not I should just put my wallet back in the car at that time, even before I started gassing up. But alas, I did not. Instead, I put my wallet where I have never put my wallet before in my life. I put my wallet on top of my car. Can you see where this is going? Yes, you can. I filled up, but had an impossible time trying to extricate the nozzle from my gas tank. Several attendants came out to offer assistance, which amounted to the same phrase being turned 3 times by 3 different workers. And it's this. Well, you shouldn't have parked on the other side. You should have parked closer to the nozzle. Duly noted and not helpful. Thank you. In the struggle to get the gas nozzle out of my gas tank and worried that we might break or damage one or the other, I left my wallet on top of the car so that when we did leave the gas station, guess where it was? It was still on the top of the car. So we rounded our first corner, at which time I suspect my wallet made a run for it and landed in a ditch. So someone in Jasper is $120 more flush with cash and a whole bunch of cards later. I discovered this 3 hours later when we got to Edmonton at our hotel. That was a horrifying realization. I went for a brief walk to clear my head, and then Jackie began the process of canceling debit and credit cards because she was the only one clearly thinking at that point. And then I prayed, Father, help me to overcome this. I do not want to let it take away from my time on holidays with my family. Jesus has overcome this world. I reminded the Father, his Son had done that. And I reminded the Father that I'm in Jesus, so I am an overcomer. So if you could help me overcome that, it'd be great. I do not want to give up any territory to the one who robs, steals, kills, or destroys. Spirit of God, keep me from self-condemning thoughts and help me control my feelings. Bring them into perspective. It's just a wallet and cards, after all, and $120. Okay. And nothing I can't replace otherwise. My prayer was answered. I was disappointed, and I was angry with myself for letting it happen, but those feelings gave way to trust and grace reasonably quickly. We got home safely from Alberta and had a great time there. Then I spent a number of days at a trailer in Washington State, set aside for me by friends there without cost, for me to think and pray and effectively take that time to schedule my teaching for the year. It was restful and super productive. I married my neighbors at the end of that week. It was a fantastic day, as I mentioned earlier. So then I was given a studio, given for free, a studio apartment in Whistler Village for a week, where I woke at my leisure. I got to tell you, friends, 9:30, 10 o'clock a.m., super time to wake up. I sank into the Gospel of John, went biking every morning, spent my afternoons in the hot tub and the pool, read two books, and developed, which I'll talk about next week, Rob's Rule of Life, my plan to lead a more balanced life this year based on an ancient monastic practice. Jackie joined me for the weekend at the end of that week, and we had that off together, and then the following week off together when we did day trips all over the place, not least of which was, why wouldn't you just go to Penticton for the day, right? Just drive up 3 hours, go down the canal, drive back. We did that one. Josh then came home for my birthday when we were able to spend time together last weekend as a family. So, what have you guys been up to? How was your summer? Anything new happen while I was away? He says knowingly. As some of you may have heard last Sunday, and as many of you have heard via email and sharing and social media, Greg has resigned as our Director of Youth Ministries, effective the middle of this month. Personally, I was sorry to miss that reading of his resignation letter. I wanted to be here, but I couldn't. I was very glad, however, that Corey was here to read it in Greg's stead, because he was not able either, understandably. I have listened to Greg's goodbye letter online. It's at the end of Corey's teaching of last week. Like him, it was honest and vulnerable and grateful and honoring. I've been grateful to work with Greg over the past 7+ years. But more on that on September 30th, as I think we mentioned that in our announcements this morning. As LT mentioned last week, we will have a chance to see Greg on September 23rd, when he will be part of the Mexico team reporting service. And we'll have a chance to say goodbye to him and his family on September 30th, when they will make the trip back to the mainland from the island to say goodbye to us. In the meantime, and for now, and in consultation with Greg, our youth will stay with us on Sunday mornings for the teaching time next week for part two of this teaching series, the reporting service on the 23rd, and the baptism service we're planning on the 30th, and for the foreseeable future, actually, giving our youth, like us as adults and young adults, a chance to learn with us together on Sunday morning, but also a chance to explore their gifts and use their gifts in service of our church family. On setup, on worship, on AV, on welcoming, on whatever. As for midweek connection and discipleship for youth, youth grades 6 through 12, as you heard Cynthia say earlier, will meet for their kickoff this coming Wednesday, followed up in consecutive Wednesdays by a service opportunity at Fraser Valley Gleaners, and then Chilliwack Corn Maze at the end of the month. So lots of good stuff coming up. Having met with the LT about our youth ministry, I'll be meeting with our fantastic youth ministry working volunteer staff tomorrow night, actually, where we'll talk about ministry moving forward. It is sad to see Greg go. We've been blessed to have him. I mean, and I say that slowly. We've been blessed because it's extraordinary to have a youth pastor for 7+ years. And a mature one. Even still, we are excited for them. We're sad for us, excited for them, and the adventure that God has them on as they head to Crofton, where Greg will begin working for Camp Kiwanos sometime, perhaps in early November or in October. Do you have any questions, parents or students, at this point that I might be able to answer for you about youth ministry as it is now that I haven't maybe answered and saying what I have? And if you have any questions for Greg even, I didn't tell him I was going to create that opportunity, but I'll manage them and I'll look to you to answer them if you... Do you have... Is that... What was that? Are you answering? Is that a question? Just hand puppets. Okay, good. Wait. Seeing no hands at this point. This is an ongoing conversation, so if you have any input or questions, just give me a call. Greg's departure will leave a hole, but it also creates an opportunity to see, like the Durkins, that's good. That's awesome. Only their close friends call them that, so. It's a gherkin combined with a Dirksen. It's a Durkin. I had one of those yesterday, actually. Anyway, we're waiting to see what God has in store for us, like they have for themselves, and to join him in it. In this spirit, please pray for us, our staff, our leadership team, and our youth volunteer staff. Okay, let's go. I've done this two-part series now for a number of Septembers called Who We Are and What We Do. I have found it helpful to bring us back together after spending parts of our summers apart from each other to remind ourselves of who we are as Crossroads Community Church and to remind ourselves of what we do as Crossroads Community Church. It's kind of a grounding conversation. So let's begin with a quiz, and it is interactive. Are you ready? Question number one, I'll give you some context. Please keep a running total in your head or on paper of how many questions out of 10 you get correct, and if you impress me and get 10 or 9 or 8, I might have a prize for you. I might not. We'll see. I don't have anything currently, so I would have to fabricate something later. That was one of those things I forgot to pick up, actually, on the way in this morning. All right. First question, what denomination do we belong to? Don't yell it out just yet. Don't yell it out. If you have it in your mind, hand up. What denomination do we belong to? Hand up. Yes. What? Mennonite is like quarter point of an answer. Yes? Is she actually moving her lips?
Yeah, I can't hear.
Oh my gosh. General Conference, half a point. Okay. In BC, still only half a point. Stop pressing the matter and don't stick your tongue out. Yes, please.
Mennonite Church, BC.
What does BC stand for?
British Columbia.
Thank you. You can't be too careful these days. Mennonite Church, British Columbia is a full point. If you had that answer in your mind, Mennonite Church, British Columbia, give yourself a full point. Question number two. What do the, because this is what we do in church life and denominations particularly, what do these following acronyms mean? MCC? Oh, please, hands up. Come on, that's too aggressive. At the back, MCC, do you have it at the back? Just give it a shot. No? Okay. What? Is it up there? What are you doing to me? Okay. Let's say that wasn't up there. Okay, put your hand up. MCC, what does it stand for, Morgan? That's correct. Nice. Next one. Are they all like, okay, next one, B?
No, because it'll give the answer.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, so I'll ask the letter. Okay, so okay, thank you. Good call. MDS. MDS. Okay, I'm going to, okay, Carol? Mennonite Disaster Service. Very good. Yes. Very good. CBC. See, and not the broadcaster. Okay, so it's not Canadian broadcaster. Okay, yeah.
Columbia Bible College.
So full points. We have a student representing this morning. It's beautiful. Go CBC. Last one. This is totally made up. You'd have to really think hard on this one. CS. Now, in context, I've been giving you organizations that we are affiliated with as a Mennonite church. Yes.
Community Services.
Good answer. It's not the one I have here. Yep. Nope. Yep. What?
She's so said fun. Camp Squia.
That was awesome. I said, wow, Pat, your voice has really changed. It's very husky. Camp Squia is correct. So give yourself a point for each of those if you got them all right. And only points for the ones you got right. Question number three. How many churches are there? If you get this, I don't know. I think maybe lunch out or something. How many, I mean, you'll take me out for lunch. How many churches are there in the MCBC family of churches? I'm sorry, what? 126. Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm guessing
32. You're close. I think you're a little high. 31 is also close, but... Okay, at the back, how many? 27 is an ambitious, incorrect answer. 28 is close.
29.
29. That's right. There's 29 churches, as far as I can count, in our directory, and they are speaking 5 different languages this morning in their locations, which is kind of cool.
All at the same time.
All at the same time. That's right. Please, ushers, please remove him. English, German, Vietnamese, Chinese, and Japanese. And speaking in tongues on the occasion. So 6 languages then. Question number 4. How many MCB churches, what did I say? MCBC? Good. How many MCBC churches are there in the immediate, I like to refer to this area as the Greater Chilliwack area, Yarrow, Rosedale, Agassiz, no, not Agassiz, won't go that far. How many? How many? Okay. Anybody? Yes, at the back? Yes, do you know their names?
Eden Mennonite?
Yarrow? And us!
Oh.
Woo! Yep, okay, good. Question 5. How many years has Crossroads Community Church existed? Well, that's a bit of a tricky one. I'm going to ask Kelly Romberg, because she looked like she might have the answer to that. Go.
23
is really close. And really, the answer, yeah, we'll ask the church planner shortly and see if he gets it right. 25 is most correct. If you consider that there were meetings in 1994, but the official public launch at Sardis L, if I'm not mistaken, Doug, was in Easter 1995. This guy knows his history. Okay. So who planted this church beginning in the fall of 1994, as I just mentioned? Do you know? Who planted this church? Yes?
Jesus.
Doug? Jesus. 2 points for that answer. It's such a good answer. So solid and theologically accurate. Love it. So Jesus had a conversation with Doug. And Doug said, I like that idea, Jesus. Let's plant a church. And they did around 20 plus years ago. Very nice. What was the name of our church plant?
Jesus.
Nope. Stop saying that. I mean, it's good to say that, but that's not the right answer in this case. It's not called Jesus Church. Carol. Peace Mennonite Church. That is very close, but I think we have an emphatic and correct answer from one of its founding members back there.
Peace Community.
Peace Community. Is that? You said Peace Mennonite. Yeah, Peace Community. That's right. P-double-C. 8. How many different schools have we met in for worship as Crossroads Community Church over the course of our luxurious 20-plus years? How many? Patty, what do you think? What's that? Is that 4? 3? 4? Let's see here. Incorrect. Anybody else? 4 is correct. Do you know them? Do you know them? Okay, go. Yep. Yep. Not just pretty, but also quite bright. What's that? What? How does that casually come up in conversation? All right, fantastic. Okay, what 6 words in our bulletin every week outline in brief who we are, what we might otherwise call our mission statements? Please, someone, look at the bulletin even if you need help. 6 words. Ready? Let's say them together. One, two, three. Follow Jesus, love people, make disciples. That is who we are. That's what we are called to be and do. Okay, last question. Number 10. Are we Mennonite, Anabaptist, Christian, or all the above? Anybody? Yes? D? All the above is correct. Very good. Very good, Ray. So who got, put your hand up if you got 10 out of 10, or I guess it would be more like bonus points. You got them all right. We're working on the honor system here, Kendra. All right. 9 out of 10. 8 out of 10. 7 out of 10? Well done. Good job. All right. This quiz was designed to remind us of who we are in the context of being among others and over the course of some time. In the past, we have talked about who we are as it relates to our denomination and who we are as we relate to other churches and even who we are as distinctly Crossroads Community Church because we are unique. This morning, however, I'd like to make this particular question much more personal, if I can interrupt that. Thanks. I'd like to make it much more personal. As a nod to Greg and as a welcome to our junior and senior high students, I'm going to borrow from the Youth Alpha series, episode 4, specifically to set this up and to give us some focus. To give us context, episode 4 is about faith. About what it means and what it doesn't mean to be a Christian. The Alpha hosts explain that Christianity is not a club and it's not passed down from one generation to the next, like my mom was a Christian, so I guess I am too. Instead, Christianity is a personal decision to lean the whole weight of our lives on Jesus and what he has done. To turn to him for forgiveness and to follow him in every aspect of our lives. Is this who you are? Perhaps I could put it another way. Where are you in your faith right now? With Jesus at the center of, or with Jesus sort of peripheralized? And maybe that changes a little bit depending on the situation. Youth Alpha, episode number 4, puts it in a question and attaches that question to a visual. So I'm going to ask my friend Jocelyn back there. She's doing a great job of queuing it up. I think you're right there. He's so handsome. I love it. It will ask the question with the visual. Then a number of youth and young adults will answer the question from their experience and perspective. And this will give us a chance to think about our own answers to the question. And then it will give us the question again and a pause for us to report. Jocelyn.
I'm this guy right here who's checking himself out in the mirror.
Of course. I think that was you.
Half in the pool.
Yeah, with your top just kind
just
of remaining
out. Peaceful. I could go fully under, but
you're just
I'm just chilling.
I feel like I would be the one dipping the toe in. Because I've always seen in front of me, but I've always been like, do I want to get further into it? I don't know, it's kind of cold.
I'm really close to him. As you can see, I'm right there. I'm not way down there. I'm close to him, but just sometimes I lose touch, basically.
I'd be that guy walking in. He's ready to go scuba diving, but he looks happy, but he's definitely just entering the room.
I guess I would be the lifeguard, because I'm not religious, so I don't feel like I'm actively a part of it.
Oh, I'm the guy diving in. I'm the guy diving in. I'm the one that's diving into religion. Like, no way. Faith, baby.
Question is if the water in the picture of the swimming pool represents a relationship with God, which person in the picture best represents where you are at, who you are, okay? Because that's what we're talking about here this morning, who we are. Moving from the top to the bottom, going clockwise, you can form your own questions and own observations around these characters and how they interact with you, and that's useful, actually. Here are some of mine, just to sort of guide that conversation a bit. Are you one of the fully clothed women talking to each other at the top left entrance to the pool? Not even looking at the pool. Maybe you're enjoying the friendships, the discussion. Maybe your parents are waiting to pick up kids at the pool. Are you mindful of God in that space? Are you the guy on the diving board, like our friend in the video, ready to take the plunge? Are you diving in for the first time? Are you jumping back in? Why are you on the diving board? Are you the guy walking into the pool area at the top left entrance, ready to go swimming? Are you curious about God? Are you seeking God? Are you the woman standing at the side of the pool, wearing a towel? Are you done with faith? Have you thrown in the towel? Or are you refreshed by your time in the pool, by the time you spend with God? Are you the guy who is a little worried looking with his hand raised in the deep end of the pool? Are you waving to your friend in the towel? Are you calling out for help? Have you felt abandoned by God or by the church? Are you the pool deck cleaner, cleaning up the messes people make of faith or people of faith make? Are you the toe dipper, like our friend in the video? Are you checking the temperature? Are you trying to figure out what it will cost you to be in relationship with God? How about the guy sitting around the table there, or at the table, at the round table there? Like, why are you there? Are you working so hard that you had to bring your office to the pool? That you don't even have time to consider God? Are you too busy to enjoy your relationship with God? Are you the lifeguard on duty? Like our friend in the video, are you detached from faith? Are you paying attention to those who are in proximity to a relationship with God? What do they say to you about that? How about the lane swimmer? Are you enjoying your swim, your relationship with God? Are you connecting with God through prayer and Bible reading and meeting with others who love Jesus? Or are you trying to work hard to earn God's love, and that's why you're swimming so hard? Are you the person whose head is below the surface of the water, feet in the air, diving deep in your relationship with God, swimming in his goodness, mindful of his love for you? Are you the girl in the water, shoulders deep, soaking in your relationship with God? What do you see? How do you feel? What are you thinking? Are you one of the men standing at the edge of the pool, looking harsh-faced and condemning? Do you most identify with people? Are you one of them who keep the rules and are annoyed by those who do not? Are you what we might call in religious circles closet legalists? Are you the strong man flexing in front of the mirror, like our friend in the video, looking at yourself with your back entirely to God? Who are you? Let's leave that image there for a second for you to give that some thought. And I understand that you will vacillate, as I do, in between being many of these characters at different times. So really what I'm asking is, who are you right now and where do you want to go next? I'm going to ask Jocelyn if she would advance the clip in a second, and you're going to then meet the hosts, and they're going to share a scripture that I think is foundational for these next 2 weeks, and then I'll wrap up. So, thanks.
First John chapter 3 says this: "What great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God."
God is a perfect Father, and He loves us more than we could ever imagine. God knows everything about you, the good and the bad, and yet He loves you.
Yeah, this means that the one who knows you the best is the one who loves you the most.
The one who knows you the best loves you the most. I wanted that to sort of sit with you for a second. The one who knows you the best loves you the most. When I hear that, I think, oh, but how could he? With all my inconsistencies and all the fears and all of the judgment and all of... But he does. Would we dare to believe it? What great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Who are you? Who do you most identify with around the pool deck as it relates to your relationship with God? You are loved. Do you believe this? Have you leaned into this with all the weight of your life? If you haven't, do you remember a time when you had in your life? What was that like? Could that be better even? Even if you identify with a couple of people around the pool deck at different times in your life, what is your general disposition to God? Are you seeking him? Are you diving deep to get to know him? Are you talking about him with others? Okay, to make this sort of practical, I'm going to ask maybe one person from each group to hand out. This is basically a fridge-sized piece that you can post in your homes of that image that I just shared with you. Please take one and pass it along. I don't know if I'll have yet enough. Oh my, I don't know. I don't count that properly. But if you are a couple, perhaps you can just take one for you as a family. And it'll guide your homework, basically, from this point is going to be this. That you take this card, post it somewhere, and have conversations with people in your lives who are in that same journey with you of growing up in your faith in Christ, and talk about where you're at and how to move forward. And please, don't leave this conceptual. Talk about real, measurable steps. Not because you have to, but because you get to. There was a mom who saw another mom with kids needing a break, needing a rest, needing to be encouraged. Maybe she was like that mom or that woman soaking as a swimmer. She saw her neighbor, sensed the Spirit move her to give, and she sent that woman to Camp Squia. I could have thrown in the towel on my first days of holidays, having lost my wallet, but toweling off from some time with Jesus, I was reminded that accidents happen. That's why they call them accidents after all, in a fallen world, no less. I'm not an idiot, which is what I was telling myself immediately. You idiot. How could you possibly put your wallet on top of the car? But I am not that. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, not even of ourselves. That it would be just like Satan to take and make that loss of my wallet and make it more than it is. To rob, steal, kill, and destroy my time with my family. And I was not going to allow that because I am more than a conqueror in Christ. And in the end, and this is the perspective that I gained in my prayer time, everything, all of that, but this being the most practical in the end, everything that was in my wallet was easily replaced. Then I was the guy walking into the pool area, snorkel, mask, flippers, ready to swim, curious about spiritual rhythms in my life and seeking God for answers. And a hot tub in a hot hotel pool in Whistler is where I found my answers. More on that next week when we talk about what we do on our spiritual journeys because of who we are. Let's pray.